Next case is 03-1380, State of Ohio versus Ronald J. Brooks. I think you're the appellant, correct?
Yeah.
And you, Mr. Cassay?
Yes, Your Honor.
You should be seated at that table, if you would, please. Mr. Morton.
May it please the court, my name is Alex Morton, and I'm representing the appellant, Ronald J. Brooks. This is a certified conflict case involving the felony sentencing law that was enacted in 1996 and involving interpretation of it. The question that this court certified was whether or not revised code 2929.15, second sentence, read in pari materia with revised code 2929.19b5, second sentence, requires that a court sentencing a defendant to a community control sanction must, at the time of such sentencing, notify the defendant of the specific prison term it may impose for a violation of such sanction as a prerequisite to imposing a prison term on the defendant for such a violation. On behalf of the appellant, of course, we would contend that the answer to that question is yes.
Why couldn't specific mean up to 12 months? I mean, that's pretty specific. Instead of saying you could be subject to community control and not say anything about a term, I can see that being nonspecific. Why isn't you can be sentenced up to 12 months not specific enough?
Well, our whole argument, Your Honor, is based on the plain language of the statute. And that's it in a nutshell. That's the way the statute reads.
Then under your interpretation, the judge would have to have said to this, your client, you would be sentenced to 8 months?
Right. That's correct. In other words, the appropriate procedure is you place someone on community control and you say, Ms. Smith, if you violate this community control, you will be sentenced to a prison term of 8 months. Let's say it's a fifth-degree felony.
Okay, let's
correct.
Say that your defendant, your client comes back on a probation violation and the judge looks at it and says, I don't want to give 8 months, I only want to give 6 months. Is the judge bound by 8 months?
No, absolutely not. The language of the statute, 2929.15, just says that any prison term imposed shall not exceed
the
specific figure.
If the judge said 8 months, but he could have gone six, why can't the judge have said 12 months and went 8?
The judge can impose any prison term just so it doesn't exceed the prison term specified at the initial sentencing hearing.
And what prison term did the judge specify in this case?
In this case, the judge actually specified no prison term.
But didn't he say up to 12 months?
No, I believe the argument that the Court of Appeals relied on below was the fact that the journal entry stated that violations of the community control sanction shall lead to prison term anywhere from 6 to 12 months. That was in the journal entry. But at the actual sentencing hearing, the judge said nothing.
If the judge had said at the actual sentence hearing up to 12 months and your client got 8, would you be here arguing?
I probably still would be, right, because the judge has to, under the plain meaning of the language, it says that the...
But you just told me if he had said 8 and gone 6, that would have been okay. Why couldn't he have said 12 and gone 8? Maybe he thought he wanted to give 12 and decided to give 8 instead. And your argument is that it was in the sentencing entry, just like our case this morning. It was in the entry but not in the sentencing hearing.
Well, the way you phrased the question was if the judge said up to 12 months. That's why I would object to that. The judge would have to say 12 months.
So the words up to puts him in violation. If he had said just 12, you'd have been okay. If he says up to 12, he's not okay.
Right.
And do you think the legislature really intended that specific a delineation in sentencing?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Your Honor. This is what the statute says. The court shall notify the offender that if the conditions of the sanction are violated, blah, 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 the court may impose a prison term on the offender, and shall indicate the specific prison term that may be imposed as selected by the court from the range of prison terms. That's what the plain language says. There is no getting around it.
Well, you brought up 8 months earlier. What if the judge said 6 to 8 months? Would you object to that?
Yeah. Yes. I would object to everything. The judge has to say, according to the statute, the judge has to shall indicate the specific prison term that may be imposed as
selected. Let me ask you this question. Is it more informative for the defendant, in this instance, if the defendant can get a minimum of 6 months, and if the judge said 8 months, and the judge said, I'll give you a sentence of 8 months, but the statute, as you know, says the court can give any amount not to exceed
right.
what has originally been imposed. Couldn't the defendant be misled to thinking he might get 2 months if he violated? And so wouldn't the court be better informing the defendant by saying 6 to 8, because realizing that he couldn't get any less than six? And isn't that more informative for a defendant?
Well, I don't know what is more informative,
Well,
Your Honor.
8 months would be misleading, because the defendant could think he could get something less than eight, maybe one or two, when in reality he could get nothing less than six. So
Your
six
Honor,
to eight is more informative. Do you agree?
I agree with you, but that is not the issue, because the issue is the statute says shall indicate the specific prison term that may be imposed as selected by the court from the range of prison terms.
And the sentence to be imposed is based on conduct which presumably ensues following the initial period in court when the court announces the sentence.
Right.
How can a court predict what that subsequent behavior might be that would trigger the mechanism? In other words, sometimes it's more egregious than others.
Okay.
How would a court know what the defendant might do in the future?
My answer to your question, Your Honor, is this, is what you're positing is a situation of the tail wagging the dog, okay? In other words, the underlying offense is what brought the defendant into court to begin with.
We all agree. And the court exercised whatever discretion it had to permit the defendant to have a period of community control.
Right.
With a particular sentence hanging overhead.
That's correct.
And the court will be imposing that sentence, if it so desires,
right.
based on some presumably future activity of the defendant for violating that community control.
Right.
How does the judge know when it imposes the initial sentence what the violation might be?
He doesn't know, or she doesn't
know.
Well,
why wouldn't it be in the best interest of the defendant and the court, then, to give a range of no less than 6 and no more than 12 based on what happens?
Your Honor, all of what you are saying may well be true, but that's not the way the legislature set this scheme up, okay? And I wanted to point out a couple other things that I stated in my brief. This idea of picking a specific sentence at the time of the initial sentencing is nothing new. That's what's been done, as long as I was been practicing law in Ohio. In other words, what happens is the trial judge says, I'm sentencing you to 12 months in jail, but I'm suspending the sentence.
Let me ask a different question. Does a court have to make findings with respect to more than the minimum at the time it imposes this sentence? Or perhaps maximum findings if it's going to impose 12 months?
Okay, that is a very interesting question. In other words, the court says, I'm putting you on community control, but if you violate it, you're going to get the max.
No, 12 months.
The max.
Well, it doesn't have to give the maximum. You just told us earlier Court can not exceed it, it can give something less.
Okay, but let's say the court gives the max, which requires...
At what point? When it's imposing community control, or when it's actually going to send the defendant to the penitentiary?
Okay, the court gives the max, and then there are, at the sentencing hearing, and then there's a requirement before a court can impose the max, it has to make certain findings. The question is, does the court have to make those findings at the time of the initial sentencing hearing, or later on, when the offender violates community control and is actually sentenced to the max?
That's my
I don't
question.
Know the answer to that question, Your Honor, okay? And I can tell you that it's been raised below in State v. Vlad, okay? I'm sure you will be getting that case within the next 2 years, and the issue is one of ripeness. When is it ripe? When the judge states you'll get the max if you mess up community control, or whether she actually imposes it. So, but I don't think that's relevant for today's argument. I would also say this, that this matter needs clarification. I practice primarily in Summit County and Cuyahoga County, and I can tell you that you could probably count on one hand the number of judges that follow the provisions set forth in the sections at issue here. So I think that this is an issue that needs ultimate clarification by the court. If you look at the cases cited in my brief from the appellate courts below, I think about 9 out of 12 lean our way, and 3 lean the way of the appellee. I would point out that Justice Painter, who I believe is a respected member of the judiciary around the state, made it clear years ago. He said, how much clearer could the legislature have been? I think it's a perfectly rational scheme. The sentencing hearing is the time for the judge to impose sentence. And it's at the sentencing hearing the judge has all the information he or she needs to say that I'm putting on community control, but if you mess up, this is what you get. I have nothing further. I guess I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
May I ask you another question? Okay. In this instance, as I understand it, your client was advised he could receive a term of 6 to 12 months if he violated community control.
Yes.
He did not get 12 months.
Correct, he got 8 months.
What is the prejudice to your client if he thought he could have gotten 12 but didn't get 12 and got something less than 12?
Well, I mean, again, all I'm saying, Your Honor, is that this is the way the statute reads.
Well, if we reverse this, are we going to send it back to see if he can get 12 the next time?
Well, unfortunately for Mr. Brooks, he's already served his time. So,
was this moot?
With respect to Mr. Brooks, it's moot. The certified question remains. In fact, I believe you're holding another case, Housley.
We have, yes. This issue is very much alive, but this case probably is moot, but the issue is very much alive.
I'm just saying from practical experience, no one is getting it right at the lower court. I mean, I was in court 2 weeks ago down in Akron, and I mentioned to the trial judge, he put this defendant on community control. I said, Judge, do you want to tell him what is going to happen to him if he violates community control? And he said, why don't you tell him, Mr. Morton? So I kept my mouth shut, but if he violates community control and they attempt to sentence him to prison, then if this case goes our way, I'm going to raise the argument.
Could we find substantial compliance when a trial court imposes a range instead of a specific number and say that substantially complies with the statute? Would that satisfy or clarify the issue?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, the arguments of the courts below, you know, most of them say substantial compliance is not enough. Of course, this is the Supreme Court. I would remind you that Title 29 states somewhere in there that statutes defining offenses and penalties are to be strictly construed against the state and liberally construed in favor of the defendant. So.
Thank you, Mr. Bork.
Thank you.
Mr. Cassay.
Chief Justice, members of the court, may it please the court, my name is Richard Cassay, representing the Appalachian State of Ohio in this case. I apologize for sitting at the wrong table.
Oh, that's all right. It's a new procedure for us here, so.
Okay.
You're a trial.
The argument from the appellant and the appellate decisions upon which he relies is that the plain meaning of the statute needs to be enforced here. Now, I think it's what is plain is that there are at least two or three appellate districts who disagree that this is the plain meaning of the statute. So I think there is an issue here. This is not, we're not here to allow this court to, you know, cookie cut this case and it's the end of it. There's a real issue here. I think the issue really centers or can be most rationally approached by the understanding that when a defendant is put on community control, that is the sentence. The statute makes that quite clear. Community control is the sentence. Then, as the justice, I think, was pointing out here, what happens after that, this is a different ballgame. These raise different considerations.
Let me ask you, what word should the General Assembly have used if it intended to make it clear that the judge was to give a precise and exact, a specific sentence? This is the sentence you will serve, not a range. That's the old law. I mean, this law was adopted in the whole context of so-called truth in sentencing. And the General Assembly moved away from giving these ranges because people never served the full sentence, we know. And so the General Assembly decided that we're going to require judges to tell in open court, this is your sentence. I don't, how much more clear could it be in the statute that the General Assembly intended that the judge is to tell the defendant, this is going to be your sentence if you violate the community control agreement? What word could it have used?
Well, the Ninth District on its own and the Housley Court pointed out several examples, which the court's obviously free to accept them or not.
Right.
But looking at the text of the statute, one example would be in 19b-5, instead of the statute reading shall indicate the specific prison term that may be imposed as a sanction, the language would be, this shall indicate the specific prison term that will be imposed as a sanction.
Well, doesn't may there, the trial court has options, does it not, in the statute? The statute gives the trial judge options. The trial judge decides that I've chosen this option, that is a prison term versus more community control or whatever. Isn't the word may there giving the trial judge the authority to do what he or she wishes to do among those options?
Well, upon a violation of community control, obviously, Mr. Chief Justice, the trial court has options. It can extend the present sanction up to 5 years. It can impose a more restrictive sanction, including jail time, or can impose a prison term. So it has the options, but to say that it has to impose the exact term, unless it imposes the exact term that was mentioned at the original sentencing hearing, I think is exactly what should be avoided, because what you're doing then you're forcing the court at the initial hearing, when the defendant is placed on community control, you're forcing the court to impose a predetermined sentence.
And the General Assembly probably heard an argument about that very issue, and it decided to use the word specific. Now, should we change what the General Assembly, the word the General Assembly used, and say a range? Because we think, well, maybe it's difficult for some judges to know exactly what sentence I might give this person if they violate community control, but that's a policy, is it not? I mean, that's something the General Assembly, we have to assume they considered that, I would think.
Well, Mr. Chief Justice, if the court feels that the text of the statute mm-hmm. is plain and unambiguous, and it's plainly and unambiguously means that the court at the initial hearing must say the exact prison term that will be imposed if prison is imposed for a future violation of community control, then that's the way this case is going to come out. But I don't think that it is necessarily that plain and unambiguous.
In reality, the defendant doesn't get the exact sentence that the court specifies at the time of the initial encounter in court.
That would be true.
Because the statute says that the court will impose a prison term which shall not exceed the term specified in the notice. So it can't go over it. It'll be something under that. Am I right?
Yes, I would agree.
So if the court says 8 months at the time of it imposes community control for a violation, it might give 7 months, or it might give 6 months.
It could, yes. It could give 6 to 8. So
if there's a range from 6 to 8, does that better inform the defendant?
Well, I guess it would depend on the defendant, but I don't know that it necessarily would, Your Honor. But I think what's important here it seems to me that when you try to interpret a statute, you should look at the broad canvas, shall we say. Now, what you have here is a sentencing issue. What the courts in this state are supposed to do is impose sentences with at least two basic things in mind. Protect the public from future harm, punish the offender. Now, how do we best do that in this in this context? If community control is the sentence, then if the defendant violates community control, he or she is brought back in, and maybe, that defendant will be sentenced to prison. Now, that decision should be able to implicate the principles of the sentencing law that I mentioned. It will be better able for the trial court to do that if it has a range of sentences from the minimum to the maximum to work with. Now, I'm not going to tell you that every single sentencing finding or reason is implicated by this specific situation, but certainly some of them are. For example, more than the minimum. To impose more than the minimum, the court has to make the findings. Would demean the seriousness of the offense, or it is necessary to protect the public from future harm by the defendant or others. That would be one example where it might be highly relevant why or how this particular defendant violates community control. Does he violate community control because he doesn't see his officer? Or does he violate community control because he commits 4 or 5 other crimes before he is apprehended?
In which case he would be charged with those crimes, and this sentence is separate from those sentences that he might receive for violating the law again, right?
Separate in the sense that he would be given a different sentence for the new violation, but still, I think if you accept the Housley rationale, because they say this, the new proceeding is a separate proceeding, so the court can take into consideration what this particular defendant has done. That would be one example where it would be necessary to wait and see what happens, if anything happens. Another example, I think, would be if you're looking at maximum sentences, the judge has to make the findings. Worst form of the offense, greatest likelihood to reoffend. Now, I agree or concede that the worst form of the offense situation is not going to be implicated by what the defendant does later. But pose the greatest likelihood to reoffend, I think clearly can be. Again, if he or she is out committing multiple crimes, maybe of the same type, a thief, that is an individual who might be a justification for the imposition of a maximum sentence with that finding. So this is what I'm trying to say here, and in my brief, I don't think we should mandate predetermined sentences. I don't think we should put the trial courts in a straitjacket. I do agree with the appellant that whatever form of the advice is, it's going to have to be made at the oral sentencing hearing.
And here that was, you agree that here...
Was not done.
This case really should be, I mean, because it's moot, but it should be reversed, should it not, in Comer? Regardless of what we decide on this issue...
If there would be a possibility to give some type of relief to Mr. Brooks, then Comer would require the reversal of this case. And I concede that. Yeah. But he served his sentence, so there's nothing more that can be done for him. Housley, I think, that case isn't moot. He was given 3 years and was still within that three-year period. Now going again to the... I finally see the clock here. Going again to the language of the statute, 19b5, shall indicate the specific prison term that may be imposed as selected from the range. Well, what does specific mean? Does it mean exact? Maybe. It could mean a discrete thing, or a description, an enclosed description. There are lots of definitions, I think. You know, depending on what dictionary you pick up, you're going to find a range of definitions. But defining that as encompassing the ability of the trial court to make a range from 6 to 12 for a fifth-degree felony does not necessarily, to my mind, preclude that from being a specific sentence.
See, you're using the words. It's interesting. You talk about a range, and of course, the law used to provide for ranges. Why would the General Assembly have used the term range of sentences if that's what it intended to require the trial court to do, instead of specific? Specific doesn't sound like a range to me. Maybe I don't understand the word, but it seems to me that specific is precise, exact, 8 years or 8 months, 6 months, whatever, versus a range of within which you may fall, Mr. Defendant.
Well, this is the issue that the appellate districts are splitting on, Mr. Chief Justice.
Is it because they don't like the statute, or is it because they have a difficulty knowing what the word specific means, do you think?
Well,
it
could be either
that.
Of those
you
two,
or
you know, it could be that they're correct. There is discussion in some of the cases that appellant relies on where, you know, we have this language that SB2 introduces confusion, it's complex and really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but we have to follow it anyway. So maybe, sir, you are suggesting that these courts on my side are not fulfilling their duty in interpreting the statute if it's plainly written. That could be. That's really the issue here. I'm trying to point out that if you look at the broader picture of what a sentence is supposed to be, and you accept the premise, as I think you must, that community control is the sentence, and then if the sanction is violated, then you're in a different ballpark, shall we say, with new considerations to carry into effect the principles and purposes of sentencing. It makes more sense to me, and under the textual analysis adopted by the Ninth District and the court in Housley, you can do that. You can reach out and get those principles and purposes of sentencing easier. In fact, you can't do it, I think, with exact is exact and this is it and nothing else. So I think there are policy reasons tied to what the sentencing law is supposed to be all about. Is that necessarily right? I'm not going to say he doesn't have a colorable argument. I mean, you have appellate courts splitting on this, and they're all intelligent people, and this is the issue before you today. I don't know, I'm just about out of time. I'll be glad to answer any questions. I've got 26 and counting, yeah.
When would you have the trial court make findings of more than the minimum or maximum? At the time of the choice of the specific sentence, or at the time that the court was going to send the defendant to the penitentiary?
Well, I was trying to figure out the answer to that before. If you adopt the interpretation that the court has to say the exact sentence, then it's more likely, I think, that the court would have to make the more than the minimum findings at that point. They have to be made somewhere, and there's only two places. I think more than likely it would have to be made at the initial proceeding at which the defendant is placed
on
community control.
Thank you, Mr. Cassidy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Morton, you've saved just about 50 seconds of your time.
Just on a minor housekeeping matter, I made a mistake in my proposition of law here, where it should read 29-29-15B, second sentence, not third sentence. You certified it correctly. Again, you may not agree with the policy the General Assembly set down, but it set it down plainly and unambiguously, and I think you'd be doing the courts of this state a great service to finally interpret this law so they get it right. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.